We're turning in our Bibles today to the book of Hebrews and the chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're reading from verses 24 to 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. When the psalmist David came to meditate or read the Word of God, he had that little prayer upon his heart in Psalm 119. He would say, "Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And that's a good prayer for us to pray as well when we come to the reading of Scripture. And we could silently offer that prayer to the Lord as we commence our Bible reading this morning. "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. We'll bow together for a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this reading of Scripture today. And we pray for thy help and blessing as we consider it, as we peruse the Word of God, meditate upon it. We ask that we might be enabled to lay it up in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, let us profit by our coming together this morning. Let us know thy presence in the midst. Lord, speak to every heart. Prepare each one. The preparation of the heart belongeth unto the Lord. And we pray, therefore, that our hearts might be ready to receive the engrafted word, that word which is able to make the soul wise unto salvation, and which is able to build up the believer in his most holy faith. To this end, we pray for the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that the power of heaven will come, and the blessing of God will fall, and that our souls might be greatly enriched. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the three appearances of Christ. They are found in these verses that we have read this morning. Let me point them out to you as we begin. In verse 26, we have his past appearance. Look at the verse. "But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." There we have his past appearance. He came to put away sin. In verse 24, we have his present appearance. It says there, now, the latter part of the verse, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Lord Jesus Christ presently is appearing in heaven for his people. And the third one is verse 28, where we have his prospective appearance, because it says, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. So there is the great prospect of our Savior appearing again the second time. So on these three appearances, we want to dwell this morning, and I pray that we will be blessed as we consider them. No one can properly understand the book of Hebrews if they are not familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. It's good to have a knowledge of the Bible, and it's good to read both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and both Testaments are the Word of God equally, and declare unto us the message that heaven wants us to hear. Nowhere is the little rule which says the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed, and the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. Nowhere is that more clearly seen than here in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews frequently makes reference to the Old Testament types, the Old Testament shadows, and the Old Testament ceremonies. And in our text here, Hebrews 9, verses 24 to 28, the Apostle Paul sets forth Christ as our great high priest, showing how he is superior than all the high priests of the Old Testament ceremonies. Allusion is made to the entrance or appearance of the high priest into the Holy of Holies in the great day of atonement. And in these verses, as I've said, there are three references to the appearance of Christ. And in our consideration this morning, we will briefly consider these three appearances. Going back to the first one in verse 26, his past appearance. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Here we are given the purpose of Christ's appearance upon this earth. Many, including even some churchgoers, are ignorant of this truth. They do not know the true purpose of Christ's first coming when he came into this world. Our text makes this point very clear. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's why he came. There was no other way to redeem sinners from their sin. God, having so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so therefore, God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to save your soul. He came to redeem you from going down to the pit. He came to save you from everlasting judgment and everlasting burnings in an everlasting hell. And thank God today there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Christ. Thank God for his past appearance. If Christ had not come, this world would continue to lie in darkness and in the lap of the evil one. But praise God, Christ came, died the just for the unjust, defeated the devil, overcame death and hell. And we rejoice that he snatches brands from the burning, and he rescues the perishing, and he releases the prisoner, and he sets them gloriously free. Thank God for that day and that time in our life's experience when we were set gloriously free and we were saved by the blood of Christ. Some people, indeed many people, foolishly imagine that they can do the work of Christ themselves. That is, by their own efforts, they can put away sin. What folly! What ignorance of the truth! What ignominy and shame in the wicked heart to claim that a sinful man can put away his own sin. That's why Christ came. That was the purpose of his first appearance, to put away sin. My friend, your sin can only be put away by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His past appearance, when it states that Christ puts away our sin, it means that he cancels out our sin. It means that he disannuls our sins. It means that he abolishes our sins, that they are taken away forever. And it's based upon the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus. You will recall, I'm sure, that on that day the high priest takes the scapegoat and he lays his hands upon that scapegoat, and with his hands on its head he confesses the sins of Israel, and then releases that goat, and away it goes into the wilderness, never to be to return and never to be seen again. And here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ putting away or taking away. He takes away our sin. God the Father laid on God the Son our iniquities. And our iniquities have been punished in the death of Christ, in his sufferings, in his agonies upon the tree. And therefore, by Christ taking my sin and bearing it in his own body on the tree, my sins are taken away or put away, and they will never return, and neither will they be remembered against me anymore. What a satisfaction to heaven and a satisfaction to my soul. What a comfort and assurance to know that my sins, which are many, are all put away and will never return to haunt me on the day of judgment. What a comfort. Only the gospel of Christ can give to men and women this great hope. There are many religions in the world, but none of them without exception, can bring such comfort and hope to the heart of a poor, guilty sinner. Only Christ, only the Word of God. And praise God, He has opened our eyes to see that and to bring us into the knowledge of the truth. What a truth it really is. You'll note that His appearance was specific. Mark the words, but now once in the end of the world. It was a specific act. Verses 25 and 26, if we read them together. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. No, Christ came once. He offered up himself once and for all. It is a once and forever sacrifice. It is a very specific one. Christ was once offered. It was also a sacrificial offering. Verse 26, by the sacrifice of himself, the sacrifice of Christ. In order for sin to be put away, it was necessary that a blood sacrifice be made for atonement. Even away back in Genesis, Abel recognized the need for blood sacrifice. And he killed the firstling of the flock. He offered up a little lamb. And that offering was acceptable to God. And God accepted Abel's offering. And Abel was accepted in the sight of God on the grounds of the shedding of blood. And Abel's offering typified the once for all offering of Christ. My friends, today we are accepted on the grounds of that offering, through the shed blood, through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. The sacrificial nature of this offering is seen also in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And Christ on the cross bore the sins of many. Again, this past appearance was substitutionary. Not only was it specific, was it sacrificial, but it was substitutionary to bear the sins of many. He did not bear his own sin upon the cross. That is because Jesus Christ had no sin. The Lord Jesus was sinless. He could do no sin. Even Pilate had to confess, I find no fault in him. In him was no sin, not even any tint of sin. He did not bear his own sin, but he bore my sin. He bore our sin. And the substitutionary nature of Christ's death is seen in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The substitutionary nature of the Saviour's death. Oh, thank God for his past appearance. We rejoice today in the work of Calvary. We thank God for the person of Christ, who is our Redeemer. And we bless him for the great gift of salvation that he offers to us. And then moving on to his present appearance. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the tree, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This text speaks of his present appearance. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. There are four things that we should note concerning the appearance of Christ in heaven. That's where he's appearing on our behalf. He's appearing before the Father, before the heavenly throne for us, our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for his people. Notice about this present appearance that it is a present appearance. Verse 20, now to appear. That is, at this present moment. At this present moment, the ascended Christ, the glorified Son of God, is in heaven, interceding on the behalf of his people. At this very moment, he is interceding for you, dear child of God. At this very present moment, he's interceding for you, tried believer. At this very moment, he's interceding for you, tested believer, passing through some anxiety, some trouble, some worry, some concern for the future. Remember this, dear child. He loves you, and he's interceding for you, and he's praying for you. And while you may ask for others to pray, and that's good, we can pray one for another, but I want you to be comforted this morning in the knowledge that Christ is praying for you, and he knows your need, and he's presenting that need before the Father. And in heaven today, he is mentioning your name. He is pleading your cause. He's praying for you. Isn't that a great comfort? You may worry about the future. It may all be unknown to you. It may be topsy-turvy. You may be concerned and worried. You may feel like withdrawing. But there's no need to, dear friend. No need to. Oh, be comforted. Oh, be joyful in the sure knowledge that we have a Saviour in the glory who's presently appearing before the Father on your behalf. At this very moment, interceding. Not only is it a present appearance, but it's a perpetual appearance. This thought of Christ perpetually pleading the cause of his people is brought out in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Listen to it. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Not For one moment, does our great high priest neglect this important work? He doesn't even forget it. We forget. We promise people will pray for them. And sometimes out of sight is out of mind, and we forget. And then suddenly our minds are jolted, and we remember we promised to pray for that particular person. Maybe it's a missionary. Maybe it's a sick one. Maybe it's some believer in trouble, anxious about the future. Young people wanting to know the will of God for their lives, even for the very next step in their lives. They get anxious and worried and concerned. And we promise to pray for them, and sometimes we forget. We're human. We have our failures. But the Lord never forgets. He is perpetually remembering his people before the throne of heavenly grace in heaven. Thank God, not for one moment will he neglect this great work or duty in heaven. Our case is never neglected nor forgotten by the Lord. Will you take that home with you today? Will you dwell upon it? And in your troubles, will you take it to the Lord in prayer, knowing that he is remembering you at the throne above? He's our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. And then it is a prevailing appearance, not just a present appearance and a perpetual appearance, but it is a prevailing appearance. Notice that in John chapter 11, verse 41, at the grave of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus Christ said as he prayed at the open grave, at the grave, he said this, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always." Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we wonder if God hears the prayers that we offer. And it may well be that they go for a period, sometimes a considerable period, without the answer. But the Father hears the Son always. And I'm glad that my case is always being heard before the throne of heaven. The Lord here thanks the Father that he hears him always. During his earthly ministry, the prayers of Christ were always effective. And now in heaven, we cannot think that his intercession is any less effective, because he is heard always. Furthermore, his present appearance is a particular appearance. As the great high priest, he is before the throne with a very particular purpose. He is said to represent a particular people. Look at verse 24. Notice the two words, "for us." That makes it personal. It's coming home to us in this building today. It's for us. Who are they for us? Who are they? You notice it's not for the whole world. Christ is particularly praying for his people, for his elect from all quarters of the earth. His own blood-bought people, for all those for whom he died upon the cross. Christ is praying for us in his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. As he's praying for his disciples and for his own, he says, I pray not for the world, but I am praying for those whom thou hast given me out of the world, that they fail not. And the Lord Jesus Christ prayed that prayer when he was here on earth, and he's still praying that you and I, his people, will not fail, but that we will be true to him to the very end. Doesn't that encourage us? Dear child of God, facing all your oppositions from the devil, all your doubts and fears, all that the world may cast up to you, oh, don't fear. Thank God you have a perpetual appearance in heaven in the person of Christ, who's praying for you, who's praying for us, who's praying for me. And praise God, he will never fail. And no matter how insignificant we might feel in the eyes of others, and the world sees us as insignificant creatures. We were in the open air yesterday in the street preaching in Murray Street Mall, and there were those who gladly received literature. There were others who opposed us, who mocked, who cursed, who blasphemed, who even not only were pleased to curse us, but they cursed God. They cursed God. But in spite of the opposition of the world, we have a great high priest in heaven. He'll stand by us. And when those cursings were going on yesterday in Bowling Street Mall, we had a great high priest in heaven praying for us. And his prayers rolled back the tide of opposition. And his prayers rolled back the devil. And praise God, as the Bible says, when we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Sometimes he may flee at us, and he does. And I remember that man yesterday, under the influence of alcohol. Boy, did he not half flee at us. The devil was in him. But you know, when you plead the precious blood and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And in the end, he left us and we had peace. How wonderful is our God. It's the same in your daily life, your daily experience, whether it's at home, at work, studies or whatever. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. We must rush on, and very quickly we'll be through. But there is his prospective appearance. Look at verse 28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. He appeared the first time upon this earth when he came as a babe to Bethlehem. But we are taught here that he is coming a second time. The word appear or appearing are often used to describe his second coming. Often used. And many times over in the New Testament epistles, this word occurs. For example, Colossians 3 verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Look at all the promises connected with this prospective appearance of Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory, which fadeth not away. Oh, this country of Australia is a great sporting country. And some of the sports back home we follow with some interest, such as cricket and rugby, especially two sports which I like to watch on television. And many crowns are given, many awards are given out, and great cups are presented at the end of a sporting period or competition. But you know, all these trophies will fade. All these trophies will disappear. They're not forever. They're not lasting. But look what it says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So what a prospective appearance is ahead of us. In 1 John 2 verse 28, notice the endearing term that is here. Just notice it. "And now, little children," the Bible's calling us little children. What a tender, compassionate God we have. We are the children of God. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, a verse which is often quoted, "Beloved, now," not sometime in the future, "but now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Notice how the word "appear" or "appearance" occurs in all of these verses, in connection with his prospective appearance unto them that look for him. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him? And in one of those verses I quoted, it says about, "To them that love him shall he appear." So let's connect loving him and looking for him together. Do you love the Lord today with all your heart? And then, are you looking for his coming? Are you prepared and ready? And should he come, will he find you prepared? Or will he find you unready? Will you be ashamed of his coming? Or will you glory in his coming? Oh, let's labor for the Master. Let's live for the Lord. From the morning till the setting of the sun. There's nothing else worth living for in this life. Let's live for Christ. Let's crown him Lord of all. Let's put him first in our lives. Let's be thankful for his past appearance when he came to put away our sin. Let's be thankful for his present appearance in heaven for us as he pleads our cause. And let's be thankful for his prospective appearance. For he is coming again. And he will come. And the promise is that his redeemed shall be forever with the Lord. Amen. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. for Christ's sake.